Inside the Cave continues, and as always, every Tuesday morning at 7:25 on 96.5 The Cave, we welcome in Tom Crawford, Crawford Podcasting Network, and a regular on Fox 47 out of Lansing, Press Pass. Tom, welcome to the broadcast this morning.
Well, it's great to be on with you, Pat. Finally got into Big Ten play. Got into a game where a yard meant a yard. A little slow start for the Wolverines, but a comeback win, 31-7. So a lot to be excited about for the Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah, the Wolverines were just grinding meat on Saturday, as Jim Harbaugh said. And really, it was kind of a dominating a game as far as the defense is concerned. And the offense looked a lot better than they did the previous week against Bowling Green.
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh in the postgame presser, you know, marveled about the balance, and he referenced the Bo Schembechler days when he was playing. You know, they got 201 yards, Pat, on the ground, and another 214 through the air. And I thought one of the things that really stood out for me was J.J. McCarthy on his 7 carries, 51 yards, and that RPO where he can just tuck it and go. This is what I've talked about all summer long. This is the dynamic of this Michigan offense that I think is going to be key. He was much more accurate, 15-21, and no picks. So that's a good thing. Michigan got over 400 total yards. That's a good thing. So, but now they got to go on the road. You know, this was the first Big Ten game. Now they got to go on the road. So another new chapter in challenges. And even though it's Nebraska and then Minnesota following, not exactly stellar teams in college football, it's still going to be an adjustment, and they got to get off to a good start.
Hi, Tom. Ian Wendt. I heard Pat give you the warning about me, but you know, I kind of give up. Like, I don't know what to make of Michigan. Like, the most impressive win obviously was Saturday against an actual Big Ten team, not one of the better Big Ten teams. You know, I just don't know. I'm looking at the rankings and upset with how the media is doing this. I think right now you're a little bit overranked at number two. Like, when you look at other teams with impressive wins, I don't know. What am I supposed to make of Michigan nationally right now?
Well, it's hard to tell, you know, and that's a good point. And, you know, these rankings, AP, you know, ESPN, whatever, they're irrelevant. It's the college football, right, the CFP rankings, which comes out in October, mid-October, whenever that is. And so these are just kind of for fan interest. And, you know, what Michigan's got to do is just keep getting better, you know, have an improvement week all the time and be able to run the football. I think their offensive, you know, the offensive line got brought up to Jim Harbaugh, and because I think that's the biggest concern. There's been a lot of rotation at right tackle there, and there hasn't been an established, you know, front five. And Drake Nugent, the new center, maybe not adjusting as much as Olo did it last year as a transfer. So the offensive line, I think, needs to improve, and they did better. And this was the best game of the year, like you said, because it was a, you know, Big Ten team, a Power 5 team, finally playing a Power 5 team. Well, that's an upgrade right there. But, you know, it's like there's, you know, you look at the schedule, and Pat and I have talked, we talked about this on Saturday. My God, with Michigan State in an absolute tailspin, when you look at the schedule, Indiana took 4 overtimes to beat Akron. That's the October 14th game for Michigan at home and Purdue on November 4th. You have to literally go to November 11th, again, I'll say it again, to really find out what this team is all about when they go to Penn State. Because Penn State's good. They pounded Iowa. And Maryland's probably the fourth best team in the Big Ten. They look pretty good against Michigan State on the road. That was a good win for them. And then, obviously, Ohio State beating Notre Dame. That was a huge game, in my opinion, for Big Ten credibility, that Ohio State beat Notre Dame. Because the Big Ten's been lacking credibility with a lot of embarrassing losses, but that was a good one for the Big Ten.
Yeah, I do want to talk about that a little bit, because I think Ryan Day's got the Wolverines on the mind a little bit after that win. Yeah, you mentioned the Big Ten. Like, yeah, State, forget about it. Iowa, top 25, forget about it. It's like it's the big three. It's Michigan, it's Ohio State, and Penn State. In your time covering the Big Ten, where does this stack up? Like, it just seems weak right now.
Yeah, well, you know, and you know, think about it next year. Think about it, those four teams that from the Pac-12 were in the Big Ten. Then you'd have seven of the 18 teams really, really good. When you talk about Washington, Oregon, they're both good. USC, maybe UCLA has stepped down, but still a competitive team. So, yeah, it's going to ramp up next year, so that's a good thing. But, yeah, for as far as top-heavy and then bottom weak, yeah, this year is – you know, this is probably the weakest I can in recent memory. I mean, there's been some weak seasons, and you can look at a lot of conferences, maybe other than the Pac-12. But that you know, when you start carving away at the bottom half, you can say, yeah, they're not that good. But the Big Ten is extraordinarily weak. Some embarrassing losses, obviously, and you know, so you know, it doesn't matter though. I mean, Michigan has. They have. I mean, if Maryland keeps winning, okay, which they potentially could, that could be the fourth team. That could be the fourth ranked team. And then look at the backloaded schedule of the Michigan Wolverines. You go, once again, number 11, go to Penn State, and then you go to Maryland, the sandwich game, if you will, between Penn State and Ohio State. Then you have the Bucks coming to town, breathing fire after the two losses of the last 2 years. And Ryan Day, you know, Michigan's in his head. Of course, Lou Holtz is in his head, too. That was an embarrassing thing. I don't understand how you let that, you know, if you're supposedly focused and, you know, I mean, how do you, that shows you, you know, he's got some insecurities going on, Ryan Day, and feeling the pressure this year.
I mean, the Big Ten is so bad, Tom. Michigan State might win a game. I mean, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Well, I think Michigan State will win three games, and I think that third win is going to be Indiana, because Indiana, that's an East Lansing. But I think they're going to, you know, the way this is going, they're going to, they could drop the rest. Yeah, yikes. It's really sad in East Lansing.
Well, hopefully they'll have players to field an entire team, because today is the official day that Mel Tucker gets his firing.
The old walking papers.
Yeah.
Has that come out yet?
That's a 30-day window that most people don't realize when you there's so many windows in the portal. You got the 30 days here, then you got the 40 to 45 days after the regular season, then you got the 15 days after spring ball. So, yeah, Michigan State players, current players, will have a lot of time to evaluate. And when you have a lame duck situation, I mean, this whole coaching staff, they're not going to be back. I mean, probably. I mean, when you bring a new staff in, or a new coach, he brings this whole new staff in. So, yeah, so you're right, Ian. It's difficult to defend the Big Ten. But, you know, Michigan can still, in my opinion, Michigan, Ohio State, or Penn State, any of those three could be viable national champions, because the top three are that good, and maybe a fourth could be kind of good.
I remember back in the 60s, 70s, it was that way. It was Michigan and Ohio State, and the rest of them were...
just say it, Pat. Just say it. Just say Big Ten, Little Eight. Just say it.
Yeah, that was
my
what
goodness.
It was. Indeed. And it's like Bob Ufer, the former Michigan play-by-play, says, yeah, we have two seasons, the first 10 and then the last one.
I mean,
it's really
All right.
funny.
Let's talk about... Michigan going into Lincoln to take on the Cornhuskers. The last time they were there, they snuck out with a victory.
Yeah, Nebraska's, you know, Matt Rhule is going to be a good coach. I'm going to go on record saying that. I think he will get it going. And he complimented the Michigan program yesterday in his presser, and I watched his press conference as the template, the model to build a program. I'm talking about Jim Harbaugh from 2015 on, so... You don't hear that often, but that was, of course, that's, you know, coach speak and everything. But, you know, they have a quarterback situation. You know, Sims might not even start. I mean, I will be incredibly disappointed if this is a third quarter game, if Michigan's struggling. They have to turn the ball over to do that. And so I don't think this is going to be a huge challenge. I think it can be a viable win, though. Because when you go on the road, you're trying to challenge silence the stadium, and Nebraska fans are still will bring it. They're enthusiastic. They have a first-year coach, so they're not down in the program yet. So I think this is going to be a good experience for Michigan.
J.J. McCarthy making some comments. This game is going to be over at halftime. Kind of putting up some billboard material there.
I know. It's like, well, I don't get that. But he is, you know, J.J. is a positive kid. He doesn't have a filter. He's incredibly animated. You've seen him in the presser. He comes in, he's greeting everybody. How's everybody doing today? Yeah, he's the epitome of that program, and he's epitome of Jim. I mean, Jim Harbaugh is, I mean, he was talking about, he was promoting YouTube TV. His wife's got YouTube TV. Oh, I can watch all these games. I've never seen, that was in the Monday presser, I've never seen Jim Harbaugh this relaxed and so engaged with his team and having so much fun ninth season he's been with Michigan.
Well, Tom, that's because, like you said, they don't play anybody until November.
Well, I mean, it goes beyond that. I coaches don't get caught up in who they're playing. They want improvement, and I think he's smart enough. The coaching staff, they got a terrific staff to monitor and diagnose that this team is improving. So I don't think he's all giddy because he's got a. And he doesn't see any losses. He wants his team to improve, and he's brought some areas up that need improvement, and he's got some guys that have been injured that on and off they're slowly coming back. So I think it's sincere that he really likes his team, and it's just not because of they have no challenges in front of them.
Looking at the last three. I agree. I mean, those are the games. I mean, you got Penn State. Maryland looks good. We'll see if they can sustain it. Then Ohio State. Would you, as a Michigan fan, would you rather see those games split? Like, would you rather play Maryland early or get the Penn State game done in October instead of, all right, you're playing these three, and then if it goes well, you play the Big Ten championship game, which will be just, don't even put it on TV. And then the college football playoff.
Yeah. I know I like this. I mean, do I wish Penn State was maybe mid-season or something? Perhaps. Yeah, that could be better. I don't mind it because, you know, football teams improve. Good football teams improve every week. And I think this offensive line will be a lot better week number 10 than they are right now. And that's going to be the key against Penn State's defense. I mean, Rutgers has a good defense, and then when you're looking at Michigan's defense, my God, I know they haven't played anybody, but you know, other than that big play, they give up nothing against Rutgers, and I was more encouraged after this Saturday's game than I have been dramatically the three prior because those opponents were so weak. And I just didn't think Michigan played well in a couple of those games, in particular, obviously, the BG game with the mistakes. You know, Michigan cleans up the mistakes. If you don't help your team win, the other team win, then, you know, with this much talent, this much depth, you got a great chance of winning a lot of football games.
What's happening with Ryan Day at Ohio State? Like, that win at Notre Dame, I thought was a great win. That was an awesome football game. I mean, that was old school Big Ten team playing Notre Dame. They get the win, and I'm watching the post game presser, and it's like, whoa. I mean, emotion, heat of the moment, all of that, but he goes after an 86-year-old man who made some pregame comments.
Yeah, you know, that was, I watch all the press conferences on the Big Ten Network on Mondays and Tuesdays, and his Ohio State's on Tuesday. And Ryan Day is really good in the Tuesday press conference, and he's usually pretty good post game, but he got caught up in the moment, and I think this was a residual buildup of some of the stresses he's feeling about this season, and Lou Holtz kind of pushed him over the edge, and I don't know how he got access to that. Someone showed it to him, but he was defending his team, and that's a good thing, galvanizing the team. But I mean, it looked immature in my mind. To do that, it showed you that there's someone getting in your head. You don't want to do that. You want to execute poise. You want to demonstrate poise to your 110 players on your team, and to showcase your fan base as well. I mean, that's my opinion. I mean, that's how I think a coach should. I mean, Kirk Ferentz. Watch Kirk Ferentz. I know some people, Iowa fans might be frustrated with him. He is the classiest guy, win or lose, in college football. He's the dean of college football coaches. That's the way I'd want my coach to act, or if I was a president of a university to represent my school in the front porch of football.
Yeah, and you can go after somebody without saying their name, right? They do that all the time.
Well, I mean, it's just like, I mean, you can make a more subtle reference
sure.
to it.
Yeah,
right. You know, a lot of second guessing, you know, about the physicality. You can really do that in a delicate, subtle way, in a classy mm-hmm. way. But, you know, just ignoring it, focus on your team, not what people are talking about your team. You're supposedly in the, you know, inside this capsule, you know, a football coach always talk about the capsule, you know, no, we don't let anything penetrate the football building. And that showed you that he was vulnerable to some things said by Lou Holtz,
the one thing,
86-year-old man.
The one thing that I liked about the game is how well Notre Dame could run against the Buckeyes.
Yeah, and they had some missed opportunities. I saw Sam Hartman. I was down at the game with Central and Notre Dame, and I thought he would have a more effective passing game. So I give credit to Ohio State. Ohio State's defense, I thought, was great, and that's a tough environment down there to win in South Bend. I think both teams, you know, showed well, and Notre Dame still could be in the hunt. If Notre Dame beats USC. I mean, they could be, you know, hanging around the chicken coop in this thing for a while. And then, obviously, Clemson. So a lot of football will be played, that's for sure.
Well, we are overtime here on Inside the Cave. Surprise, surprise. Go to OT, yeah.
What do you mean?
Tom, thanks for joining us today. And, of course, they can catch you on your podcast.
Yeah, just go out to Tom State Community on my YouTube channel. Also, Tom State Community, my Facebook page. I have all my content and look forward to talking about this first road challenge for the Wolverines next Tuesday, guys. So thanks for having me on.
All right. Tom Crawford from the Crawford Podcasting Network. And we'll be back with more on Inside the Cave right after these.